James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive the stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. The message, the paraphrase of this, of James chapter 3. When you open your mouth, don't be in a rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is highly responsible work. Teachers are held to the strictest standards, and none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hand of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony into chaos, throw mud on reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame the tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God, our Father. With the same tongue, we curse the very men and women He made in His image. Cursing and blessings out of the same mouth. My friends, this can't go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day in brackish, which means somewhat salty or not appealing to the taste, the next, does it? Apple trees don't bear strawberries, do they? Raspberry bushes don't bear apples, do they? You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear, cool water, are you? So today, James talks about the tongue. We're going to look in Scripture on the warning of the tongue. We're going to look in Scripture on its nature and the revealing power. Once again, let's look at what James says in verses 1 through 5 on the warning of this tongue. It says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive the stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, We put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, he says, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forth a little fire kindles? So by way of Scripture today, we're going to see how the tongue, how the speech of a person can control them, and how it influences every aspect of their lives. The psalmist says in Psalm 34:13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Once again, the psalmist says in Psalm 39:1, I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. Once again, Psalm 52:1-5. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness, Selah. You love all the fiery words, your deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living, Selah. Over in Proverbs 6:16-19, the text states, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. So you can see right there how powerful the tongue can be, and how the Lord hates a lying tongue. He hates a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, Romans 3:9-19. Let me read that to you. It starts off, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Then he says in verse 13, their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they practice deceit. The poison of acid is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. They are swift. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. What a warning from Scripture about the tongue. And also, in Matthew 12:36-37. But I say to you, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Words are very powerful. The old saying, we all know it, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. What a lie. Your words are so powerful. We're going to see later. They speak life and death. And for every idle word, the warning from Scripture says, We will give an account in the day of judgment. What a warning James gives us here about this untamable tongue. We know how destructive it can be. That's why he gives such a strict warning. Let's look at number two. Let's look at the nature, its nature, from James chapter 3. Once again, verses 6 through 10. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude or the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. And he said, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. We know that sinful words can spread like a forest fire. The destruction can be swift and fast, and it can cover a lot of area in a short amount of time. I'm speaking really of gossip. What is gossip? Who is a gossip? A person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others. It's a rumor. A rumor is talk not based on definite knowledge. Gossip is basically chatty talk about something, as I said, not based on definite knowledge. You see, an uncontrolled tongue, and here in a study Bible, can defile the whole body, the whole person. And the course of nature can also be translated the wheel of life, meaning the whole course of your life. No man can tame the tongue. You see, the instincts of animals can be subdued through conditioning and also punishment. But the sinful nature that inspires evil words is beyond our control. Only the work of the Holy Spirit within us, as we yield submission to it, can bring this destructive force of this tongue under control. You see, with it, we bless God, our Father, and curse men. You see, James is pointing out the inconsistency of blessing God while cursing people who are created in His image and the likeness of God. God created human beings, both man and woman, in His own image. Today, people still reflect God's image, though from the fall, they are badly marred by sin. As you know, you can only be a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, okay? I want to put that in. But James is saying here, we bless God our Father and we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. It shouldn't be that way. Let's look at four insights this morning. I want to share with you from a commentary of John MacArthur. Very interesting insights on this verse 6. Verse 6 of James chapter 3. He says that doubtlessly the strongest statement of Scripture on the danger of the tongue. Once again, the text says, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Using the figure of fire, this overwhelming declaration presents four major elements of the tongue's danger. Number one, it says, the very world of iniquity. World here does not refer to the earth and universe, but rather to a system, a scheme, or arrangement. In this case, it is a system of iniquity, of evil, rebellion, lawlessness, and every other form of sin. It is a source of unrighteousness, ungodly behavior within sinful man. It breeds and gives vent to every sort of sinful passion and desire. King James, one commentator describes it as a microcosm of evil among our members. It is vile, wretched, and wicked scheme of fleshly humanness, he says. No other body part has such a far-reaching potential for disaster and destruction as the tongue. Number two, second, an evil tongue is set among our members, and that which defiles the whole body. The system of evil spreads out and contaminates the rest of the body. To modify the metaphor somewhat, the destructiveness of the tongue is like smoke that penetrates and permanently contaminates everything that it is exposed to. Whatever fire itself cannot destroy, its smoke will permeate it and ruin it. Thirdly, the evil tongue sets on fire the course of our life, even expanding the principle still further. Like physical fire, the destructive effects of evil speech expand, not only contaminating ourselves, but also everything we influence throughout the course of our life. To a large extent, we are known by what we talk. Over the long haul of our lives, what we say gives others a pretty good idea of who and what we really are. That principle applies to good things as well as sinful. But James' emphasis here is entirely on the negative aspects of speaking, such as gossip, slander, false accusations, lying, filthy language, and stories, and other sins of the tongue that can destroy individual lives, families, schools, churches, communities. Now I put here even nations. Fourth, and most horribly, the sinful tongue is set on fire by hell, the text states. The set on fire indicates a continual state. The idea is reinforced by the term James uses for hell, which here is Gehenna. Gehenna is not found in the New Testament outside the Synoptic Gospels, where in each case it is used by Jesus. The word literally means the Valley of Hinnom, a deep gorge southwest of Jerusalem, where trash, garbage, and the bodies of dead animals and executed criminals were dumped and continually burned. The location had originally been used by Canaanite and even some Israelite worshippers to sacrifice their children as burnt offerings to the pagan god Moloch. When that heinous practice was permanently halted by the godly king Josiah of Judah, the place was considered to be unclean and wholly unfit for any decent usage. It therefore came to be used as a garbage dump, where all the filth of the city of Jerusalem and surrounding areas were taken to be burned. Because the fire burned all the time, and maggots were also present, the Lord used Gehenna to represent the eternal, never-ending torment of hell, the unquenchable fire where the worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. Hell is Satan's place, prepared for him and his demons. As such, it is used here as a synonym for Satan and the demons. That is said to be set on fire by hell indicates that the tongue can be Satan's tool, fulfilling hell's purposes to pollute, corrupt, and destroy. It is unbelievably dangerous and destructive. Using another figure of death and destruction, the psalmist says of those who misuse their tongues, his speech was smoother than butter, but his heart was warm. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Behold, they melt forth with their mouth, swords are in their lips, and as those who have sharpened their tongue like sword, they aim bitter speech as their arrow. Even mature believers know that in their remaining fleshly humanness, their tongues still have great power to devastate and therefore need constant guarding and control. It's nature. Our tongues can destroy, can curse on a negative aspect, when it should be on a positive aspect to bless our God and Father, and to speak sound words, not simple words that can spread like a forest fire. So we see its nature. It's not controlled by the Holy Spirit. Our tongue can be a world of iniquity. Now it's revealing power. James throws something here too. James chapter 3, once again, verse 11 and 12. It says, does the spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. You see, pouring salt water into fresh water produces salt water. And mixing bad fruit, as we know, with good fruit, what are you going to come up with? Rotten fruit. That bad fruit is going to contaminate that good fruit. That's what James is saying here. Just like speech, blessing and cursing. They're an oxymoron. We need to bless and not curse. But this revealing power, so you're known by your fruits, basically. You see, the Lord talked about that over in the Gospels. I'm going to share that with you before we conclude. Over in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. The text states, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. It says, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. It says, therefore, by your fruit you will know them. Then over in chapter 12 of Matthew, verses 33 to 35. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. It says, fruit of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil. And over in the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. In your bulletins, there's the insert. The tongue and what it tells us. By Darrell Winter. The tongue, he says. The tongue is perhaps your most powerful tool of influence. James tells us that it is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. It is like the tiny rudder that steers a great ship, or the small spark that ignites a massive forest fire. James also tells us that the tongue is difficult to keep under control. We all We have all experienced that difficulty. Nevertheless, the way you use your tongue exposes something important about your heart. Consider what Jesus said to a group of Pharisees, and we just read it. He said, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil." You see, Jesus went on to say that our words are not only revealing, they are also recorded. As I read earlier, Matthew 12, verse 36 to 37, says, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it the day of judgment. For by your word you will be justified, and by your word you will be condemned." The person that believes what Jesus said about words and judgment cannot help but be concerned about what proceeds out of his own mouth. Please consider four truths from the book of Proverbs about the appropriate use of our tongue. And he's going to listen here. Your words should be carefully chosen. And he lists some proverbs, and I'll read them to you. "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. He who restrains his words has knowledge. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than him." He said, "Resolve to think carefully before you speak, and say less rather than more." Second one, your words should bring comfort and joy to others. Once again, he lists some proverbs. "There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing the bones. A soothing tongue is a tree of life. A man has joy in a half answer, and how delightful in a timely word. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is the word spoken in the right circumstances. Resolve to say only that which, as Paul puts in Ephesians chapter 4, it is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. In other words, make your words memorable in positive ways." The third list, your words should promote truth and instruct others. "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding. He who speaks truth tells what is right. Truthful lips will be established forever. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. The lips of the wise spread knowledge." It says, "Resolve to speak truth in every circumstance, and to patiently instruct even the most restrained person in the way of truth, the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ. By forbearance, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bone." Lastly, your words should be pure. "The lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverted. Pleasant words are pure. He who is perverted in his language falls into evil. He who loves purity of heart and his speech is gracious, the king is his friend. Better is a poor man who walks in integrity than he who is perverted in his speech and is a fool." So resolve to be pure in speech. Always, he says, never allowing vulgarity, profanity, deceit, slander, gossip, bitterness, or hatred to flow from your tongue. Words can be pleasant or painful, soothing or scorching, righteous or revolting, truthful or treacherous, delightful or destructive. So how is it with you? Are the people around you pleased when you open your mouth? Or do they often wish you had kept it shut? More importantly, when all is said and done, Will God be pleased with the way you use your tongue? Or will you be filled with remorse and shame? And he lists Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So as we conclude this morning, we looked at the warning that James gives us about the tongue. We looked at the nature of the tongue. A tongue is out of control. Not controlled by the Holy Spirit of God's Word. It's controlled by the unredeemed flesh. And then we're seeing the revealing power of your tongue of speech. You're around somebody long enough, you basically can tell. You're known by your fruits. And what comes out of your mouth. And what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. So as we conclude this morning, Paul says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. He says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. To the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, I will start in verse 17 through 32. About the new man. Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 32. He says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all in faintness with greediness. Then he says in verse 20, that you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus. He says that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on a new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. In verse 25 he says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Then he says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Then he goes on to say in chapter 5 of Ephesians 1 through 4, therefore be imitators of God and your children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for the saints. Then he says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And I will close with some Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Psalm 141:3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. In Proverbs 21:23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. And as God still promises for us this morning, Psalm 119:60, the text says, I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. So the tongue. We see the warning from James about the tongue. We see the nature of the tongue, an uncontrollable tongue. The only way a person can control the tongue is full submission to the Holy Spirit. The only way a person can have the Holy Spirit is they come to faith and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And then you are sealed into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And as you submit yourself fully to God, letting the Holy Spirit guide and direct you, then your speech can be controlled supernaturally. And then James says, the revealing power of the tongue. Let's pray. Father, we close this point once again. We know that we all failed in this area sometime in our life. And we have allowed our speech to be unholy. We've all gossiped. Father, help us by your Holy Spirit to control our speech. Help us to walk in obedience to your word. As Paul says in Colossians, let our speech be with grace seasoned with salt. The world is looking at us as Christians to what a Christian is supposed to be. And our speech reveals a lot of who we are. Have our speech. Let our speech glorify you. But we do ask forgiveness for the words that came out of our mouth that shouldn't have came out. We thank you, Christ, for your precious blood and that forgiveness as we ask. But I also want to pray for those unbelievers that never has come to faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. I ask, Father, that you will draw them unto yourself. Grant them salvation. That they fall on their knees and ask for help and forgiveness of sins. For as we close today's sermon, I pray that you will sink your word deep into the hearts of the hearers and help us to control our tongues. In Jesus' name I pray and ask. Amen.